Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. A reminder to listen at 4 o'clock today. We will have the third keyword for the last chance to win Texans-Giants tickets to the home opener this Sunday. Pre-game sideline passes as well. We've given out two keywords today already during That Radio and In the Loop. You'll get the third one at 4 o'clock today. Your chance to call in will be later in the 4 o'clock segment. And if you know all three keywords and you are the right caller number, you will win tickets to the Texans and the Giants this Sunday at NRG Stadium.
On second and 12, here's Gabbert, and he throws the screen to Davis, right side. Davis has room, 30. Davis breaks the tackle. Davis inside the 25. Davis fumbles the football, and there's a scrum for it, and it's out of bounds. Unbelievable bad luck. The Texans couldn't get to the hogskin after Davis fumbled.
You've started those two before and come back to make a play. Your mindset or?
No, I'm just going to give up.
No.
I mean, what kind of answer do you want there? I mean, yeah, obviously we're going to go to work. We're going to learn from our mistakes. But I mean, come on, that's a ridiculous question.
That's a tricky spot for both reporter and player because yeah. It's a fairly obvious question. We know the guys are going to keep trying at 0-2, but I thought it was a good question because it got a reaction out of JJ. Like what did we learn? We learned that JJ Watt is at his wit's end right now with what's going on, and he should be. I said this on the postgame show yesterday, Josh and Josh Beard in for Rich Lord today. Like, of all the guys who are doing their job right now, the guy I feel worst for is J.J. Watt.
Absolutely.
Because he spent the last two off seasons trying to come back so he can one, perform at a high level again, but two, they finally have a quarterback that's worth on that side of the ball what J.J. Watt is on the defensive side of the ball when he's healthy. And it's being screwed up by really stupid stuff right now. It's being screwed up by things that are imminently fixable. And quite frankly, things that, you know, on the head coach's list that are things that have been going on for a long time that should have been fixed a long time ago in terms of game management.
Right. If you take away those first two drives by the Titans, the defense looked great. And J.J. Watt was a big reason why. He was so disruptive in that he was getting in the backfield. He was doing a good job of closing gaps. One of the only guys that was doing a good job of closing those gaps for those runs. He got a few hurries. He got a few knockdowns. Had a good a really nice tackle for a loss. But I feel bad for a guy who, I mean, we talked about J.J. Watt. If he comes back this season and he's just 85%, 80% of what he was, then that's going to be great for the Texans. And from what we've seen from the second half of the Patriots game and what we saw yesterday, he's more than just the 80 or 85%. To me, he's more of a 90 to 95% J.J. Watt. It's just everything else is being squandered. Whitney Mercilus doesn't look the same. Coaching decisions look terrible. It's just... I feel bad for JJ, and I feel bad for a few other guys. I feel bad for D-Hop, where he's finally got a quarterback, but they can't call the right play to get the guys open and to get them in the right spot offensively.
Kareem Jackson's played pretty well. DJ yes. Reader's played pretty well. There are a handful, and Will Fuller was great yesterday. We can talk about all that stuff. But JJ had a couple tackles for loss, no sacks, and we are now, our long national nightmare is up to 729 days. 729 days since JJ Watt has sacked an NFL quarterback in an actual game, week two against Kansas City back in 2016, in case you're wondering.
I can't believe it's been that long.
729 days. He was asked about the lack of pressure on the quarterback yesterday. His saltiness kind of, I think, continued during his press conference.
When did you want pressure? I mean, they sat there and they quick throwed it. They'd throw a quick throw out to the side. They'd put two. They'd have both the running backs chip. They'd have a tight end chip. I mean, they threw three-step. They ran the ball. I don't know when you wanted pressure. I don't know when there was a 7-yard drop back pass that you thought we didn't get enough pressure. But, I mean, they're smart. They had a good game plan. They knew that they had their guys out, so they had a game plan put together that they didn't need to protect against a pass rush like ours. So you have to give them credit. They did a good job of creating a game plan that didn't put their tackles in harm's way.
Okay, so JJ's pissed. JJ's pissed. And you're right. He was active. He was disruptive.
Yeah.
He looked, to me, the biggest thing, two games in, with respect to J.J. Watt, because I think the sacks are going to come, and they should come this weekend.
Yeah.
First of all, the one thing he didn't mention, they've been behind in both of these games, too. So their opponent hasn't been in a position where they've had to seven-step drop, look down the field, get yards in big chunk plays to come back in a game. He didn't mention that part of it. They've led for a total of 3 minutes and 42 seconds this season so far out of 120 minutes of football.
So
that's that plays into it. That plays into it as well. I think the reasons he's bringing up are perfectly valid for why he doesn't have any sacks. I think just looking at him, like, he looks, he moves, he's active like the old J.J. Watt. I think that's the biggest thing.
For me, I don't need the sacks yet. And for every reason that he said, for every reason that you've said, the one thing I don't like from yesterday, especially when you've got the top three tackles out, is I saw way too many plays where the entire defensive line was getting stood up. Yeah. Like, I know it's not a seven-step drop. I get that, JJ. I can watch the game. I have eyeballs, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need the flippant answers like that. Your points are valid. But at the same time, I need more from that front seven, more from that defensive line. Get a little bit of a push. Force some kind of bad throw. Change the throw angles. But you have Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, and he's getting every opportunity on a quick throw to throw the perfect angle to his wide receiver.
He did do that a couple times, JJ, on those lateral throws, on those east-west throws that they were throwing. He got his hand in the passing lane a couple times, almost caused... You know, he deflected a ball that wound up, it looked like it might have been a touchdown at first. They correctly called it incomplete. Now we get to Jadeveon Clowney, whose inactiveness in the game, inactiveness a word?
Well, we're making it a word. That's the triple threat dictionary, inactiveness, yeah.
Okay, Rich would kill you right now.
That's fine.
The master wordsmith. But we found out before the game that he was, surprisingly to many, I think, going to be inactive. He was on the injury list throughout the week, but so was DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
So was Will Fuller. A lot of guys are on the injury list that wind up playing in the game, especially nowadays because questionable is the new probable. There's no probable anymore on the injury list. So I don't think anybody thought there was a chance Clowney wasn't going to play in this game. He didn't play in the game. We can talk about the long-term view on that in just a minute. But he did find a way, idiotically, to inject himself into this game. Luke, is it Stocker or Stecker? They're one of their tight ends.
I think it's Stecker, yeah.
Stecker, they're one of their tight ends. Caught an 11-yard pass. Another play where J.J. got into the backfield on Blaine Gabbert, and Gabbert was able to roll out, and he found Stecker heading towards the sidelines. Catches an 11-yard pass. Kind of, you know, it's the Texans bench, and he's got momentum, you know. So he kind of careens into the bench, and it looked like he may have bumped into Jadeveon Clowney. Now, Stecker winds up a good 10 or 15, maybe 20 feet away from Clowney just because of where his momentum carried him. Clowney, if you go back and watch, Clowney walks over and seeks Stecker out. This isn't something where Stecker was walking back and Clowney was in the spot he was standing in the whole time and Stecker bumped him.
Right.
Clowney went and sought him out, maybe thinking he stuck an elbow out or something. If you see Clowney explaining himself to O'Brien, who looked like he was fit to be tied, Clowney's kind of moving his elbow up like a chicken wing kind of thing, looking like he's saying, "Now the guy elbowed me, nudged me." So Clowney walks over and like does one of these deals where he bows up and doesn't move for the guy. And then he gets in his face and says something. Stecker, I don't even think, says anything back to him.
No.
And Clowney starts shouting at him again, gets a 15-yard penalty, which was the only way at that juncture in the game that the Titans were swinging field position. The only way they were going to swing field position in a chunk of 26 yards, the 11-yard catch and the 15-yard penalty, was if somebody did something stupid like that. And Jadeveon Clowney did something stupid. Here is J.J. Watt's reaction after the game to being asked about Clowney's mishap.
Yeah, that's not ideal. That's less than ideal.
Not happy. Here's Bill O'Brien today when asked about Clowney's 15-yard penalty.
Stocker caught it on the sideline and went out of bounds, and he was bumped, and there was words exchanged, and that's the only info I've gotten on that to this point. So they called taunting on Clowney.
If you're Clowney and you're going and bowing up on a guy and yelling in a guy's face and risking 15 yards for your team because a dude bumped you when he got shoved into your bench, don't stand on the bench. Stay home. Stay in the press box. Fly. And you know what? Fly home, coach. That's what I say about Clowney. If you're in street clothes getting penalties, you should fly home, coach.
Done. He's done. Bill O'Brien sent him to the bench and he kind of calmly talks to him and points him towards the bench, I get he's Jadeveon Clowney. I get he was a former number one overall pick. I get he's your big pass rusher and there are contract negotiations that are going to have to happen and you might pay him or whatever the heck you're going to do with him. But he's back. I think if I'm Bill O'Brien, he's in the locker room. He's doing something. I'm like, go home. Do whatever you need to do. Take a bus home. I don't care what you do. You're getting out of here because you're not going to cost my team 15 yards because you want to bow up to some dude that didn't even do anything to you.
Yeah.
It's like when my 7-year-old son just makes excuses to pick on his sister all the time. It's like, well, she was doing this. Like, that's what Clowney looked like. He looked like my 7-year-old kid. And Stocker, he didn't say a word to him. When Clowney went over to him and bumped him, didn't say a word to him. All he did was turn around, point, and look at the ref and say, hey, look at that. And then that's whenever Clowney got penalized.
The criticism of Clowney to me on this thing is a very in the moment thing. Like, you shouldn't do that. You can't do that.
Right.
Hell, hopefully you're not in street clothes the rest of the game, the rest of the games of the season. Hopefully you're actually in uniform and doing something on the field for your team like you haven't done so far in the first 2 weeks of the season. So the topic I'm about to bring up with Clowney, I don't want it to get too tainted with what happened yesterday, because what happened yesterday, while it was one of the most idiotic things you can possibly do, it's not like it's a long string of idiotic things Clowney has done and this is just the latest. Like, it was really stupid.
Yeah.
It was incredibly dumb. But to me, the fact that he wasn't playing is what should impact what I'm about to say. And my question is, come mid-March, when free agency starts, when franchise tags have been handed out, what is the favorite for you among the three scenarios of he's franchise tagged, he has a long-term extension, or the Texans are just letting him go negotiate with other teams in free agency?
Jeremy and I have talked about this a lot on the Bull Rush, and both of us are hugely, hugely in favor of the franchise tag.
I think the franchise, and I actually put odds on the rundown. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, I didn't. I
actually put the Sean Pendergast sports book put out odds on this Jadeveon Clowney prop bet. I have the franchise tag as a heavy favorite at minus 250, which, for those who don't speak fluent gambling, that means you risk 250 to win a meager $100.
Yeah, I mean,
it means it's a heavy favorite.
Why not use it? Why not use the franchise tag? If the tool is there for you to use, utilize that until you can't anymore, and then you figure out what to do with them.
And to be very clear, the reason the franchise tag is such a heavy favorite, because I think that is also a mechanism through which you can trade him.
Yes,
that's a mechanism
absolutely.
Through which you can use as a placeholder, then deal him to a team, as opposed to letting him walk and getting a third round compensatory pick 2 years later or whatever it is.
We talked about this
two drafts later.
A couple of weeks ago, before the Raiders made the decision to trade Khalil Mack to the Bears, I brought up the what if scenarios. Obviously, it's a major what if, but what if you decided to trade Jadeveon Clowney and for some people, right or wrong of that draft, and trade Jadeveon Clowney in like a pick to the Raiders for Khalil Mack? And there was a part of me, a large part of me, that really thought that that was something that I'd consider doing. Because you look at Khalil Mack in his first game with the Bears, he just looked absolutely ridiculous with Roquan Smith. He was stealing the ball straight from Deshaun Kizer's hands, getting sacks, getting in the backfield. He looked as disruptive in that game as guys like Von Miller, as him before. Like, I would have considered trading Clowney for a guy like that. So if you're telling me there's a future where we franchise tag him and trade him for an asset, whether it's a first round pick or whatever, I might consider it at this point.
I think there's a lot of variables involved. One of them is, how does JJ Watt look for the whole year? One of them is, does Whitney Mercilus ever get off the back of this milk carton that he's on right now? Another big one is Duke Ejiofor, who had a sack yesterday, and who O'Brien, and we'll play some of this audio coming up in the next segment, but O'Brien basically admitted, like, Duke Ejiofor needs to be on the field more than he is right now. And I totally agree. He was showing these things in training camp, but he was showing them in training camp against frontliners in that first game against Kansas City.
Yeah.
He looks like a very advanced rookie just by the pass rush moves that he has, his ability to be disruptive. I'm with O'Brien, and I think the city is, that we need to see more Duke Ejiofor. And that's one of those things, Josh, that if Duke Ejiofor shows that he can be 70% of the player Clowney is, but at literally like 3% of the salary cap hit, then you're insane not to entertain that.
That's
just purely from a cap management standpoint.
Just a value standpoint.
That's right.
I mean, and for me, honestly, like, from the productivity that we've seen, and I know Clowney does a lot more than get in the backfield and rush the passer and get the hurries. Like, he's really great at stopping the run. I think he's still really underrated in that realm. But if you're telling me that Duke Ejiofor, for the money that you can get him, I think he could be 85% of what Clowney is. Like, it's more than just the 75%, and that kind of value, that's something that you have to absolutely consider. He needs to be on the field a lot more right now. Honestly, next week against the Giants, the home opener, I'm starting him over Whitney Mercilus if I'm the coach. Or at least splitting the snaps between the two of them.
I'd be shocked if he did that. Now, I would love to see it because I feel like those are the type of moves that you need to do to wake up a locker room that's 0-2.
Yeah.
I just don't know that it's – I'm trying to think of what Bill O'Brien's nature is.
Oh,
and he's
happen.
Super respectful of veteran players.
Yeah.
And I think O'Brien's probably a guy, too. Like, who cares who starts? It's who plays a lot of the snaps and things like that. By the way, J.J. Watt played 100% of the snaps. So if you think there's any managing of J.J. Watt going on to you know, sort of temper the whole injury thing from the last couple of years, 93% of the snaps last week, 100% of the snaps this week.
I'm happy to see J.J. being J.J. again.
And me too.
Everybody wants to see him get the sack numbers. Those are going to come. It's just I'm happy to see him perform like he is.
Bill O'Brien met with the media earlier today. Coming up next, we will hear why is this offense taking so long to start clicking in games. And we'll hear more about communication between O'Brien and Deshaun Watson. We do that next with Texans Radio coming up. You're listening to the Triple Threat. Sean Pendergast, Josh Beard with you today. Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.